So get to JCPenney and JCPenney.com for your favorite fits today.
Alex, I'd say I'm sorry for what you're about to hear, but I think everybody knows I'm not.
I got it! Fine. Let me have it! I got it! Fine. Let me have it! I got it!
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Fly ball to deep center field. Back goes Martin. At the wall, he's there, he's got it! And the Cubs win the Central Division.
They got the power, they got the speed. To be the best in the National League. Well, this is the year and the Cubs are real. So come on down to Wrigley Field.
Actually, it was last year that the Cubs were real.
This apology year, accepted.
This year, Welcome in. It is a Thursday edition, September 28th. The Todd Brommelkamp Show taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight, celebrating the National League Championship. The Central Division pennant will fly over Wrigley Field for the second consecutive year after last night. Congratulations also going out to the Minnesota Twins. They had to stick around in the clubhouse last night and watch the White Sox game on TV to find out that they were heading to the postseason, but it's right around the corner. And we got a busy show today. Kyle Mann, our producer on the other side of the glass, lining us up with Chris Soleri from the Detroit Free Press. We'll talk to him at about 4:45 today. Alex Halstead from 24/7 Sports and the Cyclones website there will be with us at 5:05. You can hear his predictions and breakdown of tonight's Iowa State-Texas game. That's at Jack Trice Stadium. Kickoff expected a little after 7 o'clock. The pregame will begin at 5 o'clock on the Cyclone Radio Network. That is 1600 AM. So you get all three frequencies and the Todd Brommelkamp Show for 1 hour tonight. And then 1600 AM listeners, you're going to get the Cyclones game, and we will finish up the final 2 hours of our show on our FM frequencies. It is Thursday. That means Woodja is coming up as well. We've got that slotted in at 5:30. Thursday also means the kickoff to another National Football League season, week, I should say. And all we've got on tap tonight, little rivalry between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. We'll break that down for you at the beginning of hour number six. What's up, Alex?
Not a whole lot, Todd. I woke up today just wanting to know more about this college basketball scandal, and turns out we got more.
Very nice pivot from the Cubs. Cardinals pivoting right to college basketball, and yeah, some new developments today.
Some new developments in the world of college basketball. Iowa State this evening. And yeah, you got to give congratulations to the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago Cubs as they head into the postseason, and this is the point where people start watching again, and it's an exciting time all around. Baseball, basketball, football, a lot going on here on September the 28th.
I would say that the Cubs lineup that they're putting on the field tonight in the series finale against the Cardinals is the worst Cubs lineup that I've ever seen, maybe recently, but this would pass for a starting lineup in about 2013 for the Cubs. They've got Leonis Martin batting leadoff in center field tonight. Tommy La Stella at second base. Your cleanup batter is Alex Avila. Victor Caratini is at first base. Taylor Davis is playing third base tonight. And Mike Freeman starts at shortstop behind Kyle Hendricks. How would you like to have tickets to that quote-unquote Major League Baseball game tonight? Of course, the starters are resting after the champagne-soaked celebration last night, which may or may not have been newsworthy for a couple of reasons, one of which, John Lester let it slip that John Lackey may have made his last professional regular season start last night, according to some of the language that was used in a post-game toast in the locker room. And if it is the case, Lackey's 38 years old. He's a free agent at the end of the season. He's going to try to go out on top with the Cubs. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. We will have a lot of postseason action for you right here on KGYM. I should mention that I did get the email today that I am able to buy tickets to the National League Divisional Series, which that's the good news. The bad news is that games 1 and 2 are on Monday and Tuesday, and since I have to work, I couldn't use those tickets even if I were able to get through tomorrow at 10 a.m. to buy them. So now I'm trying to figure out, well, what do I do? What do I do? Could I buy the tickets anyway and then turn around and sell them to a friend? Should I buy the tickets and quit my job or get fired so that I can go to the game? There are a number of different things that I could do, but I don't think actually buying them and using them myself is going to be an option, and for that, I am extremely saddened.
I have a question, and it's something that I've never understood, and I've never actually asked the question to anybody, and I don't know why. What is with the champagne showers in baseball after everything?
It's
one of those things that I've never understood.
Well, of course, now they've sold the sponsorship to Budweiser.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I get it now.
You get the popping the champagne, but you also have Budweiser's, the official beer of the post game celebrations. Which I know several years ago when Josh Hamilton was with the Texas Rangers, his teammates celebrated with apple juice. I think it was to be respectful of him as he tried to maintain his sobriety, but I think those gestures have gone out the door now that the sponsorship is in place. You're spraying and drinking Budweiser, or you're not doing anything in the locker room. But look, the Cardinals clinched at Wrigley Field, I think it was 2005, and the Cubs now got to turn around last night and do it at Busch Stadium, and it meant a lot to folks that have been in the organization for a while. If you couldn't do it at Wrigley Field, do it on the field that belongs to your rival, right? I guess, you know, all's fair in love, war, and baseball rivalries. 319-366-1600. As we mentioned, busy show today, but I know you want to get into it. I'm not going to rub your nose in this any longer, although I am.
It's all right.
I want it known.
I'm not offended.
I want it known that I am wearing my Cubs hat, which I keep on my desk and very rarely wear here in the office, but I am wearing it for special occasions such as today. So every time Alex has to look me in the eye, he has to look at me wearing the Cubs hat. We mentioned Thursday night football coming up tonight. Bears and Packers. That series is hard to believe. It's like Iowa and Wisconsin. The series is dead even. They have played forever, and that series is even across the board. Packers are going to be without about 20 starting offensive linemen tonight, and I think they're still favored against the Bears. I have no idea what's going on tonight in Green Bay with the national anthem, but if you follow me on Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, I said I was going to address this at some point today, and I'll find the time, probably here in hour number one, but I have thought about this for the better part of the last, let's call it 18 hours, and I've made the decision that I will no longer be discussing anything related to NFL players taking a knee on this program. And when we get an opportunity, I will share my reasoning why. It has nothing to do with listeners complaining. It has nothing to do with being censored. This is something that I've thought long and hard about, and I came to the conclusion that this is how I'm comfortable handling this situation moving forward. And so we'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm not trying to tease you and draw you out and give you the hook to keep you listening. It's just, I don't want to do it right out of the gate. We'll see if we can find time, maybe before we talk with Chris Soleri coming up at 4:45, getting you ready for that Michigan State-Iowa game Saturday in East Lansing. Look, the biggest story still today, day three now, is this college basketball. I don't want to call it a college basketball investigation because it started elsewhere and now it's wrapped up the college basketball world. Oklahoma State has announced that the associate head coach that was named in the FBI investigation who was arrested, he's been fired, so another school has acted. We talked last night about Alabama getting rid of somebody, one of their staff members, after doing an internal review. Interestingly enough, he's tied to a player who was being recruited by Iowa State among a number of other schools, and those schools were spurned. He winds up at Alabama, and it's just, look, this recruiting thing is fascinating, but it turns out that we may have a little bit more insight into Rick Pitino and Louisville, and people have connected the dots. Let's leave it at that.
Well, the FBI review named people anonymously at Louisville. If you remember back to the report that was released, they didn't even really name the University of Louisville. They said an academic institution in Kentucky with 22,000 plus students, basically naming Louisville. And in that review, they did name a guy, Christian Dawkins, who works for ASM Sports. So he was one of these managers giving money to the family of an athlete at Louisville, who we now know is Brian Bowen. Now, the report initially says that it was at the request of somebody that they named Coach 2. And during this investigation, all four of the people that were arrested were assistant coaches. You mentioned Lamont Evans, fired at Oklahoma State. There was an assistant at USC. There was an assistant at Arizona. There was an assistant at Oklahoma State. And then Louisville was named as part of another investigation. So Coach 2, apparently, as reported by ESPN, CBS, The Wall Street Journal, ABC, and Sporting News, is Rick Pitino himself. And there were a couple of times where Coach 2 was named as the person who requested that $100,000 be funneled to Brian Bowen. And then apparently somebody was caught on a wiretap saying that Coach 2 can basically, and I will paraphrase here because the language was a little graphic.
This is like Dr. Seuss, thing one, thing two. Coach 1, Coach 2.
Coach 2 is Pitino, according to reports from ESPN, CBS, The Wall Street Journal, ABC, and the Sporting News.
But can I?
Yes.
I don't want to steal your thunder here.
Please do.
But Coach 2 is described as the swinging male appendage of college basketball.
Yes. He basically can call Adidas and know that they have his back to supply him with players and money to those players.
Coach 2 can pick up the phone and ask for anything that he wants, and he will get it because he is the number one priority at that company, to paraphrase. He is the swinging male appendage, swinging fill-in-the-blank of college basketball. He can pick up the phone. Anything he wants, he gets. Coach 2 is Rick Pitino.
I just wonder at this point, because his lawyer released a statement saying that those reports are false, that he is, in fact, the unnamed coach. Is he in legal trouble at this point? Is he in trouble of suffering a similar outcome as these other four assistant coaches who have already been arrested by the federal government?
I don't know if it's going to come to the point where he is arrested, but the implication here is very bad for him, and that's why he's on leave, and that's why he's never going to coach again in college basketball. And I say college basketball, maybe coach ever again, but I did say yesterday he's going to get another job if he wants another job. Some NBA team will come along and hire him. Kelvin Sampson was hired very quickly by an NBA team. There are plenty of guys out there who are really bad fits for the college game that wind up getting jobs in the NBA. We have just scratched the surface on this. This is a story that's going to continue to develop. Brad Underwood, who's been hired at Illinois, he replaced John Gross. He was at Oklahoma State for 1 year. Lamont Evans was on his staff and then was retained when Underwood left for Illinois. Underwood, I believe, offered him a job in Champaign, and he elected to stay in Stillwater. You're never going to believe what Brad Underwood was quoted as saying in the Chicago Tribune today. He is surprised by all of this. He is shocked. Every coach everywhere is surprised and shocked by this, which is 100% hooey for Les. If we can't say swinging blank, we can't say another word for hooey. But look, every coach in America knows what's going on. They may not be doing it themselves, but they know what the other schools were doing. Maybe they don't know the extent to which some schools were going to procure players, but every head coach, Power 5 Division I basketball program, knows exactly what goes on the AAU circuit with the teams that are, especially with ones that are sponsored by the shoe companies, that this is all about procuring players and trying to remain in with those players so that when they go to the NBA, they're signing a shoe contract with said company. And yesterday, Nike now gets involved in this. And the best quote of all, you and I were laughing about this earlier today, Paul Johnson, the head football coach at Georgia Tech. Remember Norm Parker back in 2009 explaining how to beat the Georgia Tech triple option. Paul Johnson says, "I have never in my life been happier that we are a Russell Athletic school." Which I didn't even remember existed. I thought you were either Adidas, Nike, or Under Armour. At this point, Georgia Tech is still Russell Athletic, and Paul Johnson is very happy about that.
As he should be. Jeff Goodman of ESPN, friend of KGYM's.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was on, you don't remember him being on your show?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, he was on your show.
It wasn't my show back then.
Well, it was a show that you were involved in.
It's still not.
Were you known as co-host too on that show?
Anything related to those years, I am radio employee too.
Well, Jeff Goodman was, I think a lot of people were asking, how are college coaches feeling about this? What effect is this going to have on college basketball? And some are speculating that the coaches who are clean will love this because they think it will clean up college basketball. And Jeff Goodman said, yes, I've received a few calls from coaches that are saying, absolutely, now I can sleep at night knowing that things are going to change in college basketball. But he said the vast majority of the calls that he's been getting from college coaches are saying, uh-oh. Not necessarily that they're guilty, but they're worried that they're going to have the feds snooping around their program, which is a legitimate concern right now. And this, like you said, Todd, this is just scratching the surface of what this story is going to end up showing. And I think this is going to bleed right into the college basketball season, and things are going to be breaking while these teams are playing, and that's when it's going to get really messy, because a couple of these players the programs have cut ties from those players already.
Right, because they know that 2-3 years down the road, the NCAA is going to come in and say, you played him, you knew you shouldn't have, you're going to have to vacate those wins.
But what happens if in the middle of the season, one of those players will have been found to have been a part of this, and he's playing? Because like we've talked about, the NCAA will find out 2 or 3 years from now. The feds?
Oh, you're talking about players that haven't been implicated yet.
That will be implicated.
Oh yeah. No, I fully expect there to be more names to come out over the course of time, and probably during the season.
That's when things will get messy.
Or you're going to see schools preemptively, well, what's going on with this guy? Is he injured? Why is he sitting out? But and then
violation of team rules.
See, here you can't hide anything. And you can't Jim Harbaugh, this one, where you keep your roster secret, especially with basketball, when you've got a limited number. And by the way, thank you, 7854 on the text line. I had completely forgotten that Kelvin Sampson is once again employed as a college basketball coach. I thought he was with the Houston Rockets as an assistant coach. No, he's been at the University of Houston the last couple years. So he went and cooled his heels in the NBA for a while, and now he's back in college. And that
he's the head coach of the University of Houston. Thank you,
Texter. Probably the best example of why this is a farce and it surprises nobody. Because Kelvin Sampson cheated his ass off at Oklahoma and then got hired at Indiana over the protestations of several people with that basketball program who love that university and its basketball program that said, you cannot hire him. He's going to do in Bloomington what he did at Oklahoma. And then he did bad things at Indiana, and they got rid of him. And so just, it's a joke. These guys turn up like bad pennies, and everybody knows what they do, and it doesn't seem to bother anybody. And you can say Calipari's the same way, UMass, Memphis, he's back in college and being extremely successful. Now, of course, he's at a program that essentially recruits itself. You look at Rick Pitino, another guy who number of stops along the way. It just, everybody is acting surprised. None of us should be. 426, Kyle's going to have to bring you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update here shortly. Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a look at Iowa-Michigan State this weekend. Alex Halstead at 5:05 tonight. Big game in Ames. Iowa State takes on Texas. That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Do the Cyclones pull off the upset tonight? They are about a 4.5-point underdog at home to the Texas Longhorns. Emil's Hideaway sponsors the poll question. Check them out, First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Big board update on the way after this. You're listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show on KGYM.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free 1 year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualified new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
428, Midwest One has over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs. They sponsor a little thing we like to call the Big Board Update. And here to bring you the first of the afternoon, Kyle Mann.
Iowa State is scheduled to participate in the Puerto Rico tip-off in mid-November, beginning with Appalachian State on November 16th. But it was announced today that the Puerto Rico tip-off will take place in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, because of the damages caused by Hurricane Maria. The Cubs clinched the NL Central with a win over the Cardinals last night, but on a much more surprising note, the Twins also fittingly clinched the second AL wildcard spot on a night that they lost. 1 year removed from losing 103 games, the worst team in baseball by 9 games, they're going to finish second in the AL Central and face off with either the Red Sox or Yankees in a one-game playoff sometime next week. The Bears and Packers will collide tonight on Thursday Night Football, and the Packers have a couple of impact former Hawkeyes trying to battle through injuries. Tackle Brian Bulaga is listed as doubtful with an ankle ailment, and defensive tackle Mike Daniels is questionable with a hip. We've got a busy night of football tonight, so beginning at 5 o'clock on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we're going to pass our airwaves over to the Cyclones pregame show as they lead into Iowa State's game hosting Texas in Ames, which will get started right around 7. We're also going to have Scott Unash on the call for Kennedy hosting Linmar at Kingston Stadium. That will also start shortly after 7 o'clock, and you can hear it on our FM frequencies, both 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Cedar Rapids Rough Riders were in action last night, too. They fell to Fargo 4-1, and I think they're taking on Sioux City tomorrow. Those games are being played out in Pennsylvania. The texts, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, coming in hot and heavy with the college basketball takes. I really wish that I could go down the road that some people on the text line want to go down regarding specific coaches. Not going to do it.
Here's what I'll say about this. If a coach in this climate of college basketball has multiple five-star recruits on their team, it is okay for you to wonder how they got there. That's all I will say.
Kurt on the text line says, the real victims here are this year's blue-chip high school seniors. They are going to be missing their payday. Now, won't someone think of the real victims? Chris Solari joining us. Coming up bottom of the hour, Iowa heads to East Lansing to take on Michigan State this weekend. Iowa's first Big Ten road game of the year. The Hawkeyes about a 3.5-point underdog to the Spartans. The last time these two teams met, well, it was 2015 in Indianapolis, and the Hawkeyes nearly drank that city out of beer. Unfortunately, L.J. Scott and the Spartans wound up walking away with the win, and then the postseason happened for both teams, and they want to forget all about it. We won't bring that up. We continue after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. 12 years ago, it was Major League Baseball that went to Washington, D.C. and the congressional hearings on steroids in Major League Baseball. Now, college basketball could be headed to the nation's capital as well. Members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee are seeking a briefing from the NCAA and any sports companies caught up with the fraud and corruption scandal that has rocked college basketball this week. A scandal that now officially has the first job taken away from a coach. That is Oklahoma State's associate head basketball coach, Lamont Evans. He has been terminated as an assistant with the Cowboys for cause. Earlier this week, he had been suspended indefinitely. Evans was one of four college basketball assistants charged Tuesday with bribery, fraud, and conspiracy. When it comes to Rick Pitino, he is not officially fired. He is on unpaid administrative leave. Today, in a statement to WHAS in Louisville, his attorney said any reports of conversations between Pitino and Adidas are speculation and false. It's reported that he's named as Coach 2 in court records.
Brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, get Levi's lowest prices of the season, like 502 regular taper fit and 514 straight fit for $39.99 each. And check out our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Here at Toyota of Iowa City, we're winding down the 2017 model year. Because of the fantastic deals we're making on the remaining 2017 models, they'll be gone before you know it. Don't wait until it's too late. In addition to the great deal Toyota of Iowa City has for you, there's 0% financing available for up to 72 months on all new 2017 RAV4s, plus a $1,000 cash bonus on all gas models or an optional $3,000 cash on all hybrid models. Come on in and take advantage of these savings and maybe get yourself an all-wheel drive so you can be well prepared for winter. Choose the Toyota you want because there's 0% financing available for up to 72 months on most of our remaining 2017 models. It's the perfect time. Come see us at Toyota of Iowa City and let's make it easy for you to drive home in the new Toyota of your choice.
Through October 2nd, 0% financing for 72 months with qualifying credit through Toyota Financial Services. $1,339 per $1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate and ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time. And now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
It's Boost's Fall Flip Event. Join Boost Mobile, and when you add a line, get a free phone in your first month free. All powered by the fast and reliable Sprint Nationwide Network. Boost is the best value in wireless among national prepaid carriers. Visit a Boost Mobile store from 9/22 through 30. When you add a line, get your first month free and a free phone. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save. Offer valid 9/22/17 through 9/30/17. Primary line must be on a $50 plan. Free month credit is $50 to apply to activation. Free phone available for new lines added to the family plan and activated on a $50 plan. Select models only while supplies last. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details.
Mary, you're glowing gold.
I know, I joined the Fuel Rewards program and got rewarded with instant gold status at Shell.
And now your body radiates gold?
Yes, and I save 5 cents a gallon on every fill every day.
5 cents a gallon? Wow.
And gold is all the rage this season.
Oh, yeah.
Get rewarded with instant gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. It's free to join, so join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
This week, tune in to the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finny. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling into some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some of your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it.
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave. Available at Walmart.
This is a fantastic headline in the Indianapolis Star today by Greg Doyle on the basketball blank storm that has hit the fan. Doyle, FBI confirms NCAA doesn't run NCAA basketball. Shoe companies do. I'm going to get into that and what Greg Doyle, the former CBS sports columnist, again now with the Indy Star, had to say about this because it is a pretty good takedown of the NCAA and everything that led to what's going on with this FBI investigation right now, which, by the way, hasn't come close to hitting anywhere near home yet. Cross your fingers that that remains to be the case. We'll, again, talk a little more basketball coming up in just a little bit. Welcome back in. Todd Brommelkamp Show taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. High school football on the horizon as well as Cyclone football on 1600 AM. So for the final 2 hours of the show tonight, we'll be just on the FM frequencies. Iowa heading to East Lansing this weekend, the last time that the Hawkeyes and Spartans met. It was on a neutral site at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, and everybody remembers L.J. Scott extending the ball over the goal line. What a tremendous game. Could we be in for another great game between these two teams? Chris Solari joining me right now from the Detroit Free Press. And Chris, I'm just going to go ahead and ask your opinion of Michigan State football so far this year. Off to a 2-1 start, but still licking its wounds after last weekend's loss to Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think you've seen some of the effects of having such a young team. I mean, they've played 12 true freshmen now, a number of redshirt freshmen. I think last count was 9 redshirt freshmen have also played. So, I mean, you're looking at what, 21 true and redshirt freshmen getting their college football baptism. And when you only play about 50, 55 guys a week, that's a pretty young team. And that was their first real test. They played a couple MAC teams, and they played okay. But you could see that there's still a lot of growth needed from this young group.
LJ Scott, like Todd just mentioned, was one of the guys that really had a good true freshman season. Is his ball security issues endangering him of losing that top spot on the depth chart?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you go back to last season, he had a really costly fumble in the Big Ten opener against Wisconsin that Leo Musso ran back for a touchdown. And that really was the swing point of the season for Michigan State. They lost that game. That was the first of 7 straight losses in Big Ten play, and they could never get out of their own way in a lot of ways. And Scott only had 2 lost fumbles last year, but they cost him that game. It cost him at Illinois. I think he's lost, I believe, 5 career fumbles, and they've all come in the last 13 games, or 5 of his last 6, actually, have come in the last 13 games for Michigan State. He's their most dynamic runner, though. That's the real interesting thing is that, you know, you've got a straight ahead guy in Gerald Holmes, you got a speed guy in Madre London behind him, but Scott offers you the best of both worlds. I mean, the fumble he had against Notre Dame was an individual effort to get to the goal line, and then he loses the ball. So, I mean, at some point, it's going to either need to be fixed by Scott or addressed by a position change.
Sticking with the turnover conversation, is that a kind of an Achilles heel for this team, both offensively and in their propensity to turn the ball over, and defensively with their lack of takeaways?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, that's part of the issue they've got. They've got 2 forced turnovers this year. They're both interceptions, and they came in the first 2 weeks. They've had the bye week, and then they didn't get any against Notre Dame. You've got inexperienced defensive ends, with the exception of Demetrius Cooper. I mean, most of those guys are – I mean, they start 2 former walk-ons in Dylan Alexander and Kenny Willekes, and they've been playing adequately, especially against the run, but you aren't seeing the turnovers come from even the veteran guys like Chris Fry and Andrew Dowlett, linebacker. They haven't forced a fumble this year. They haven't recovered a fumble either. And that's been Mark D'Antonio's. I mean, the 3 years that they had the most success, they were around plus 50 in turnovers over the course of those 3 seasons. So that's certainly something they've been trying to address, to play through the ball and not just make the tackle. That's as critical as I think, as not turning the ball over.
Chris Solari joining us from the Detroit Free Press, previewing Iowa's game with Michigan State this Saturday. I noticed that the Spartans have struggled in the red zone this year. Is that a byproduct of not getting there often, or are they getting there and just not getting the job done?
Well, I think a couple of those red zone, I mean, up until last week, I mean, they were, I think, 6 of 7 with their only non-touchdown in the red zone being LJ Scott's fumble against Bowling Green in the opener right at the goal line. And then you lost another one at the goal line. So, I mean, right there, you take away two red zone chances that should have been touchdowns that end up as basically turnovers and end up actually becoming 7 points the other way. I think that's a sign of growth, though. I mean, you know, it's hard to gauge those first 2 games against inferior MAC opponents, but you saw the Notre Dame game. You know, they got 1 field goal. They got a couple touchdowns in that game. But for the most part, one of them was late. And, you know, they struggled to run the ball. And that's been this really surprising thing. With 3 veteran running backs, you know, I think what you're seeing is just the inexperience of blocking on the edge from the tight ends and in the line. You know, the guys that aren't Brian Allen just aren't getting the same kind of push, because, I mean, you're talking about you got a redshirt freshman at right tackle in Luke Campbell, a sophomore, former walk-on at left tackle in Cole Chewins, both guys who eventually will be pretty good. They're sizey guys, but right now they're just not getting the push up front, and this Iowa team's going to test them. I'm curious to see this battle potentially brewing at the left side with Cole Chewins and Anthony Nelson, because I think that could be one of those determining games, and you'll get to really see where this offensive line is, especially a guy like Cole Chewins.
How would you assess Brian Lewerke's first 3 starts of this season?
I'd say adequate. He also has a fumbling problem right now, and they've had 2 missed snaps, one on the shotgun, which wasn't necessarily his fault, another with a freshman center. redshirt freshman center Matt Allen in for a series. But he also has put the ball on the deck three other times, and they've been fortunate enough to retain possession on two of them. So I think that part is concerning, but they haven't had a running quarterback like this since Drew Stanton. You know, for all the things that Kirk Cousins and Brian Hoyer and even Connor Cook did, they weren't really runners. You know, where Lewerke can get out of the pocket, he's going to have to make throws. I mean, that's the reality of the numbers that you saw last week against Notre Dame. I think he threw for about 350 yards, but half of them came in the fourth quarter when Notre Dame was playing soft. Still, 170 yards through three quarters, it's okay. But, you know, he's forced the ball at times. He had the pick six in that game, which was costly. It's going to be a maturation process for a young quarterback like that when there's so much pace. I mean, where I think that Nate Stanley may be a little bit more of a game manager, take some shots to make this offense move a little bit, especially with the running game so stagnant.
This will be the ninth time that Kirk Ferentz and Mark D'Antonio have squared off against one another. I think five of those games have been decided by a touchdown or less. What is it about when these two teams and these two coaches get together that things just play out so evenly?
Well, you know, it's funny because even I talked to Kirk earlier this week, and you know, I brought that up, and he even went further back. He said he remembered back to the mid-'80s with these two teams going back and forth and playing hard-nosed games. I think it's just simply the styles of the programs and the mindset of the schools. I mean, in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, the all-time series between the two is almost even. I mean, I look back at those numbers, and it's 21-23-2 for Iowa right now, or 23-21-2. So, I mean, you're talking about as even as you can get from 1953 until now, but especially D'Antonio and Ferentz. And when Mark came here in 2006 when he was hired and into the 2007 his debut, he wanted this program at Michigan State to model what Kirk Ferentz had done at Iowa, because he took them from, you know, that awful 1999 season and built them up to a consistent contender. And I think that's probably why you see such close games, because, you know, they both rely on such hard-nosed run games, strong offensive linemen, forced pressure in the defensive line. I think they just have such a similar mindset as football guys. I think that's why it's such a close series.
We chatted with you before the season. We talked about the nightmare season that was for this football program, both on and off the field last year. What is the mood like around this team with the fan base in East Lansing right now?
Well, I think around the team it's hopeful, because I think they went into this season knowing that they were young and there was going to have to be growth, and that those first half dozen games were really going to be needed to grow and mature. The fan base, I think fan base came in with expectations that were pretty reasonable, but then you see two wins and everybody starts to get on the believe train a little bit more and kind of have flashbacks to the best that they had from 2013, 2014, 2015, but you have to look at the personnel. And, I mean, they lost 13 guys that would have been upperclassmen or contributors to this team in the offseason. That strips away the depth, and that brings in all these young guys, all these true freshmen and redshirt freshmen that are playing now. A lot of that is due to that attrition. So I think that, you know, the Notre Dame loss really tempered some expectations that people were starting to build. But I don't think that there's reason for panic at all, because this was always the building block kind of year.
You've got Iowa winning this game 17-14. I've got Michigan State winning it 17-14. Why do you think the Hawkeyes are going to prevail Saturday?
I just think they have a little bit more experience in the front seven. I think that their offensive line, even though they've struggled at times, you know, they're a veteran group where Michigan State isn't as experienced on the edge. I mean, this is another one of those coin flip games, I think, for Michigan State. I mean, one play the other way, and I think they can hang right there and get a victory. But, you know, I just think that Iowa in particular has that bitter taste. And there were enough guys on that team that played in that Big Ten championship game 2 years ago. Remember the feeling of watching time run out on the last play fumble and seeing Michigan State celebrate after the L.J. Scott touchdown and on the field down in Indianapolis, that I think that's just a motivating factor that Michigan State doesn't have. They have a handful of guys that played that game, and they just don't quite understand yet what this big boy football is like, especially now that they're getting into Big Ten play.
You mentioned Brian Lewerke's ability to run the football. You said the first quarterback since Drew Stanton who's been able to do that. We're used to seeing Kirk Cousins and Connor Cook. How has Mark D'Antonio used his ability to run in the offense? Is it more about him improvising, or are there design quarterback runs?
Yeah, there are design quarterback runs. I mean, last week was a little bit of a fallacy with his numbers. He had a 51-yard quarterback sneak on, like, third and one, and it was like the Red Sea parted in the Notre Dame defense, and he just exploded. He's got a surprisingly sneaky athletic ability. They've used him in that RPO, that, you know, the run-pass option that they've been dabbling with Connor Cook, and they dabbled with Tyler O'Connor, but they haven't had a guy that runs it as efficiently as Brian Lewerke. And he's able to read his blocks, he's able to get through, and when he gets into open field, you know, he runs like a wide receiver or a tight end. I mean, he's just got a different kind of athletic burst to him. So I think they've been trying to maximize that as much as possible, especially early on with the struggles that they've had with the running, establishing the straightforward run game.
Chris, appreciate you helping us break this game down. 3 o'clock kickoff Central Time, 4 Eastern, Iowa, Michigan State. Thanks for the time. Chris Solario, the Detroit Free Press. And yeah, we have the exact same final score. He has Iowa winning. I have Michigan State winning. I don't feel good about picking Michigan State to win the game. I just wonder where Iowa is at going on the road in Big Ten play for the first time, and we'll find out. But I think Iowa may be, as I will remind everybody on the pregame show Saturday afternoon, I think Iowa is the better football team out of these two. But as you know, sometimes the better football team doesn't always win.
I think that both of these teams are in similar spots. Iowa with the more stable program at this point. But two, the interesting matchup, or not necessarily matchup, but the duel that I will want to keep an eye on, is both of these quarterbacks have shown some ability, but have shown some growing pains, some youth so far in 2017. And I think both of them will develop into pretty good Big Ten quarterbacks, and which one can lead their team to victory on Saturday?
Fatigue and a lack of energy is definitely a sign of low testosterone, but you should get it checked. It's fast and easy. You may even have something else going on, other health problems. Mantality physicians have actually saved guys' lives who weren't aware of another potentially dangerous condition. What is Mantality? Well, it's a medically supervised home treatment program that eliminates frequent visits to clinics. Just like Amazon Prime, the medicine's delivered right to your door. The Mantality board-certified doctors manage your treatment with periodic tests to make sure you're at your peak performance levels. Don't waste time seeing or making those weekly frequent appointments to the doctor for treatment. Mantality conveniently drop ships your medication to your door. It eliminates the frequent office visits and trying to fit it into your lifestyle. Couple key things. Maybe you heard me mention it, but board-certified physicians. Mantality is covered by insurance. The FDA has approved their testosterone supplemental treatment, and it has a 90% success rate. The best part is it is safe for men to use regardless of medical condition. And you may think you are in peak health, but you might not be. You never know what's under the surface. It's kind of like going shopping for a car. They look nice, but you sometimes pop the hood and start looking around, and you realize that there's an issue you didn't notice. You can increase your energy. You can feel a little sharper mentally. You may even lose some weight. The website to check out is lowtusa.com. Mantality has clinics all across the country, but they've got one right in our backyard, conveniently located in North Liberty, halfway between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids at 595 Ashley Court. Give them a call, 774-7979. Again, the website, lowtusa.com. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team remained unbeaten as the number one rated Saints defeated Decorah 21-13. Tailback Jax Jungi ran for 121 yards, and Xavier's defense was terrific, holding the Vikings to just 41 yards rushing. Xavier will visit Independence tomorrow night. The Xavier volleyball team got a big road win on Tuesday, sweeping number 5 rated Linmar 3-0. The Class 4A number one rated Saints got 5 aces and 16 kills from Charlotte. Charlotte Richards. The Xavier boys golf team finished second in the final round of the MVC Mississippi Division meet at Jones Park on Monday. The Saints also finished second overall for the three meet team total. The Xavier cross-country teams competed at the Iowa City West Invitational on Tuesday. The boys finished fourth, the girls finished in eighth position.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company, family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the Pet Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. First baseman Anthony Rizzo acknowledged a 2016 World Series hangover affected the Cubs in the first half of the season, but said the team showed up for brunch in the second half. He made those comments Wednesday night, soaked in champagne inside the visiting team clubhouse at Busch Stadium. The Cubs claim the National League Central pennant for the second consecutive season with a 5-1 win over the Redbirds. At the All-Star break, Chicago was 5.5 games behind Milwaukee in the standings, but a few second-half turnarounds and the acquisition of starter Jose Quintana from the White Sox, who could have wound up pitching for the Brewers, helped key a turnaround that will now have the Cubs playing in their third consecutive postseason. That's a franchise first. Add in the fact that the clinching game came in St. Louis against the rival Cardinals at Busch Stadium, and it's safe to say Wednesday night's win was one the Cubs will savor for quite a while.
Travel back to our future during the Swamp Fox Festival in Marion tomorrow through Sunday. Tomorrow, watch Back to the Future on the big screen in Lyle Park. Saturday starts with a 5K run walk, pancake breakfast, and Swamp Fox Parade following a new route. Stop by the Fall Marion Market too. And that afternoon, head to Lyle Park for food, live music, games, and fireworks at dusk. And Sunday, it's the Classic Car Cruise Inn at Thomas Park. Don't miss the Swamp Fox Festival tomorrow through Sunday. It's free. Details at cityofmarion.org/swampfox.
Welcome back in 4:56. Holy cow, Iowa State breaking out some new helmets tonight against Texas. And I got to tell you, I like the way that they look. They're looking pretty cool. I don't know whether you can describe them on the radio that well or not, but we may give it a shot later on tonight. Speaking of Iowa State, this is very important. If you are listening to us right now on 1600 AM, check your radio dial. I'll give you 3 seconds. Hold on. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Does it say 1600 AM? We're going to be switching to the Cyclone Radio Network coming up in just a few minutes. John Walters will have the pregame call for Iowa State, Texas tonight at Jack Trice Stadium. So if you want to listen to the remaining 2 hours of this program, which of course you do, I know you do, you'll have to do so on our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. And speaking of Iowa City, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, going to have a different location tomorrow. We'll tell you more about that coming up in hour number two. Here's Kyle with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa State is scheduled to participate in the Puerto Rico tip-off in mid-November, beginning with Appalachian State on November 16th. But it was announced today that the Puerto Rico tip-off will take place in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, because of the damages caused by Hurricane Maria. The Rough Riders lost 4-1 to the Fargo Force in their first game of the Fall Classic in Pennsylvania last night, but they're back on the ice tonight taking on Sioux City. Their third Fall Classic game and final preseason game will be tomorrow against Sioux Falls. The Cubs clinched the NL Central with a win over the Cardinals last night, but on a much more surprising note, the Twins also fittingly clinched the second AL wildcard spot on a night that they lost. 1 year removed from losing 103 games, making them the worst team in baseball by 9 games, they're going to finish second in the AL Central and face off with either the Red Sox or Yankees in a one-game playoff next Tuesday. We've got a busy night of football tonight, so beginning at 5 o'clock, as Todd said, on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we're going to pass our airwaves over to the Cyclone pregame show as they lead into Iowa State's game hosting Texas in Ames, which will get started right around 7. An interesting note in that one is that Iowa State's going to debut an alternate helmet decal, going to have red helmets, red face masks, and a red Cyclone with the yellow outline. We're also going to have Scott Unash on the call for Kennedy hosting Linmar at Kingston Stadium. That will also be starting shortly after 7 o'clock, and you can hear it on our FM frequencies, both 106.3 FM the South Gym and 107.5 FM the North Gym.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Bears Packers Thursday night football. We're blacked out. We can't bring that game to you. Otherwise, we would. We got high school football and the Cyclones for you. And speaking of Iowa State, we've got Alex Halstead from 24/7 Sports. He's going to help break down the Longhorns and the Cyclones. You can hear him next as hour number two kicks off.
Stupid rubber duck.
Oh, I bet this is Mariota's room. Whoa, I get that he went to Oregon, but a pond-themed room seems a little weird.
I was just looking for Mariota.
Hey, what's going on out there?
I told you we should have just gone to HeismanHouse.com, but no, we had to go to the house. We could have voted for this year's Heisman winner from the safety of our computers.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. The United States House Energy and Commerce Committee is seeking a briefing from the NCAA and any sports companies that are caught up with the fraud and corruption scandal that has rocked college basketball this week after a three-year probe by the FBI. This is the very latest in what has been a tumultuous week, one that has now cost associate head basketball coach Lamont Evans at Oklahoma State University his job. The assistant